Praise God. If you have your copy of God's Word, if you'll turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40. You know, a couple of months ago, we were invited to the fair, and on Sunday evening, we had an evening at the fair where we did. We're in charge of the Vesper services. It was just a great time, and I appreciate the opportunity to be at the fair. We had a great showing that evening, and I just appreciate some of your faithfulness in being there. There was a mixed crowd of different churches that were there, and I had the honor to preach. Well, I took a moment and I taught a message, or I preached a message on an eagle, being an eagle Christian. Because of time, I didn't have the time to really get into really a lot of what developed out of that. And so a couple folks have said, "Hey, Pastor, won't you preach that again for the radio so that we could get that on the radio and have that in the radio?" And so this morning, I'm just going to elaborate on that a little bit this morning and just go in and talk a little bit more about being an eagle Christian. And the reason is because the eagle Christian, I believe, is an image that we can take and be a last days church. If we'll take on the nature of an eagle, then you will in the last days be someone who will thrive as a Christian in these last days. And so I want to read a verse of Scripture out of Isaiah chapter 40 and beginning in verse 31. It said, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint," as the Scripture said. That's an incredible passage of Scripture. But begin this morning, I want to share a story with you. It was April 19, 1775, and General Gage, who was the governor and the army general of the British Army, was marching toward a town called Lexington and Concord, Massachusetts. There was 1,500 soldiers that were with General Gage, and as he was going, the purpose of them going was to disarm and to pull out all of the armory of the militia that they heard had collected in Concord. Waiting on them was a militia army that was led by Captain Paul Parker, and this militia was waiting on the Brits as they were coming. There was somewhere around 3,800 of those that were waiting. And the whole purpose of the British Army was to disarm them. When they first arrived there at the dawn of that morning and had arrived, there began a confusion. There were those that were on the byways that were watching as this was about ready to take place. And all of a sudden, General John Parker shouted out not to shoot and not to fire upon the Brits. As well as General Gage had given instruction to his British Army not to fire upon also. In the midst of the confusion of those things being said, all of a sudden, one of the British soldiers fired a shot into the militia, and which began what we've heard as called the shot heard round the world. And it began the first battle of the American Revolution. But something interesting happened also. And what happened was that while they were engaging and when the battle began, being there on a waterway there, it had stirred up what had been there resting was nests of eagles. And the commotion in the early morning awakened several bands or kettles of eagles. And those eagles began to fly over that battle and began to squeal. The interesting thing is that was mentioned in Captain Paul Parker's diary. And it was as though it was a symbol to them that those eagles were representation as they squealed, as a signification that those eagles were rooting them on for liberty. And so in 1782, when they adopted the American eagle as the symbol of American heritage, one of the reasons why they made that decision was because of that first battle and the eagles that swarm around that first battle. And on June 20th, 1782, they adopted the image of the eagle as an image of American heritage. It's interesting because the gentleman that designed that by the name of Charles Thompson, and when he began to put this image of the seal, the eagle for America, he wanted to make sure that it was a representation of not only the nation, but he also wanted to make sure it was a representation of God also. That God's divine hand had a place and organizing, setting, and putting together the freedom and liberty of this nation. You and I know this. They don't teach this in school anymore. But you and I know that God, in His providence, had great impact on the forming of this nation. They came to this nation seeking religious freedom. They came to this nation seeking a place where they could serve God and worship God without being invaded or not being under tyranny and not being told how to worship. And the truth is, in the hour we live in, we're beginning to have to fight for those same very reasons again that they came to this country on and this country was founded upon. When you begin to look at the image of this seal and you begin to see, when Charles Thomas put this together, there's a couple of things that he put here that he wanted to make known. First of all, he used olive branches in the right part of the talon to simplify the peace of God, that the peace of God would be upon this nation. The eagle's face is turning to the right to symbolize our nation's head would always be turned toward peace, that we'd always would seek peace. In the left talon is 13 arrows that were drawn and put there to represent war and battle, and to represent that though we be a nation that seeks peace, we'll always be ready to defend our nation and always be ready to defend those who are innocent. I said defend nations who are innocent. Part of the reason why God has blessed this nation is the fact that we have always stepped in to help the innocent and always stepped in to help the nations that could not defend themselves. And so it was the symbolism of the preparation of being ready for peace and always being ready also prepared for war and for peace also. If you notice that in the eagle's beak, there is a banner, and on that banner, there is an inscription in Latin, and it's called Illo Prudus Um. It means this. It means, out of many come one. In other words, it is a call to unity, that a nation that is ever going to survive, it has to have the life of unity. How many know for the body of Christ to make it, for the church to be the church, there has to be unity in the body of Christ. It was a great symbolism of our hour and our day. But one of the most interesting things about the seal that was adopted in 1782 is interesting in this, in that if you look above the eagle's head, there is a formation of clouds. Those formation of clouds, and then within those formations, you'll see rays of light that are coming and shining on the 13 stars that represented the 13 colonies of America at that time. And what it was a symbolism. And that they always was going, it was going to represent the glory of God. The rays of light coming through the clouds represented the glory of God. That we would be a nation that would always reflect the glory of God and God's glory. That was the symbolism that they meant when they put that seal together. Around it was a cloud. It was a signification of divine guidance. You remember in the book of Acts, right? What did God do? He gave them a pillar of fire by night to keep them warm, and cloud by day. They would follow the cloud, and out of those clouds would come the provision of God. And it was a symbolism that the glory of God would rest on America, and that the clouds signified that out of the glory of God would be the provision of God, the protection of God, would be the guidance of God. And so, whether what they tell you about this is or not, whatever they say, the truth is, the symbolism of the eagle in America represented God's divine direction, God's divine hand, God's divine developing of our country to give us the freedom to worship God and love God as a people that serve God. And so it was a divine thing. And so when I began to look at this, and I first preached this message years back when my first church I pastored, but it was very vague. And it wasn't until later on that the symbolism of the eagle became very important to my life. Matter of fact, the first interesting thing that happened in my life that helped me understand that this was just not an image, but there was a divine image in this. You know, the Bible tells us this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. It says this. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." In other words, what God is saying in Romans is that God will take nature and will take the divine things of nature and reveal them to us. And when we look at them, we see and know the character of God. So when you look at creation, you see the hand of God. There are things that God creates that when we look at Him, we can say, oh my, only God could have done that. Only God could have created that. That's why the Bible says in Romans 1 that men are without excuse, knowing the very nature of creation. Seeing the creation, if God did not even send His Son, God would be revealed. Just through creation itself reveals the nature of God. And so it tells us that we can take images and God's nature can be seen through those images. And so in 2000, when I first pastored my first church, Brother Keith gave me this eagle. And it's made out of almond wood. And it was made by a young boy in South Africa that had made this for him and given it to him. And when I pastored my first church, he gave me this. And he said, I want this to always be a reminder to you of the nature of God and God's divine hand upon your life. But here's what's interesting about this. The reason why the young man carved the eagle was because years ago in the Providence where he got this in South Africa was one of the first places in South Africa where the gospel was preached. And the way they preached the gospel was the missionaries would come in and they would use the images of the eagle and the nature of the eagle to communicate the gospel. And so for generations after generations after generations, the people would show their gratitude to God by carving the image of an eagle. And so when a South African or an African would give the image of an eagle to someone, it meant that they represented God's nature. They meant that they were a representation of God. They saw God in them. It was a gift that they would give to missionaries and the preachers that would come in and preach the gospel. In other words, they would say, you have been God-like to me, and I've seen the nature of God in you. And so when that was given to me, I thought, man, that's a very powerful image in my life. And so eagles have always been a powerful image in my life. I begin to study them. I begin to look at them even deeper than just the casual look at they are. Now, man has taken the image of eagle and he's put it on coins and high schools are named after it. We've put them on emblems. We've named rivers. We've named mountains after them and places. And so Scripture, throughout the time we've reproved the eagle and put it on things. But when the Scripture talks about eagles, it talks about two specific eagles. One, it talks about the imperial eagle. The imperial eagle is an eagle that is an eagle that represents, the illustrates the power, majesty, and dominion of God. It is an imperial eagle. It is the most dominant eagle that has ever that exists. But it also represents the golden eagle. The golden eagle represents supreme authority because of its size, because of its ability to be able to do certain things. It can do what no other birds can do. And so those are the references in Scripture when you read about the eagle. And so this morning I just want to take a few moments and share with you a couple of things about the eagle that would help encourage you as a believer. The character of an eagle. An eagle is one of the fastest birds that can fly. It flies anywhere from 135 to 140 miles an hour. It is the fastest, swiftest bird that has ever been created. It soars to heights that are higher, and at times there are times that it flies higher than what any other bird can fly. Matter of fact, the eagle loves, they do not flock with other birds, but they do what's called the kettling of eagles, which means two or three eagles will get together in the midst of a storm, and they will fly higher than the storm. Now, an eagle has the ability to fly as high as 3,000 or 4,000 feet. Now, listen to this. But when they kettle with an eagle, that eagle has the ability to reach heights of 10,000 feet when they fly together as a kettle. In other words, where two or three, the Scripture says what? Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. It's a representation of the authority of God. They can fly to 10,000 feet together. And so in the midst of the storm, they'll use one another's wings. They'll draft off of one another to fly high above the storm. Not only to do, and this is the reason they do it, because they want a perspective of the storm. They want to see how long it is, how far it is, how long it will last. And it's interesting that God will use the image of the... See, that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to soar in the midst of the storm like eagles in our lives. But how many know that you can always fly higher with other people with you, with other folks agreeing with you, with other folks praying with you, where other folks are in agreement with you? How many know the storm does not have the same intensity that once you're in to get in agreement with one another, all of a sudden God gives you the strength to fly high above that storm and to soar to heights that you never thought you could soar to. So God wants you to soar. And in these last days, we need some soaring people that's got some faith and have the ability to have agreement with one another to go to higher places. It's interesting. An eagle has 7,000 feathers, but not all the feathers are for flying. Isn't it interesting? They have feathers that are for flying. They have feathers that are on them to keep them warm and to keep them cool. And so there's feathers for flying. There's feathers to keep them warm and keep them cool. There's feathers for protection. There are certain feathers that are on them that are designed for protection, to protect their body, to protect their vulnerable organs alongside of them. That's all those feathers do. They're not used for flying, but they're used to protect. Also, the back tail wings of eagles, many of the feathers that are there not for flying, but they're there for balance. They're there to keep them balanced. And so God has arrayed this bird with an arrayment and equipped this bird to not only just fly, but the eagle is well-rounded. He has the ability to protect himself. He has the ability to always be on balance. He has the ability to keep himself in the midst of different temperatures and circumstances. He has the ability to protect himself. See, God has equipped each of us to do the same thing. There are certain things God has equipped us for flying. There's things God has equipped us for to protect our spirits and protect our hearts and protect our minds. There's things that God has equipped us with to keep us balanced in our Christian walk and to keep us on course with where we are so we're never knocked off balance. Sometimes God gives us things that just protect us, and we equip ourselves like the eagle so that we're well-rounded as born-again and believing Christians. The interesting thing about the character of an eagle is his strength. He can lift 2 to 3 to 20 to 25 pounds in the air. Almost 5 times his own weight he can lift. The smartness of the eagle is this, is that the eagle gets better as he matures. What's interesting is that his nest usually starts out beginning and weighs usually somewhere between it can weigh up to 2,000 pounds, but its first nesting is 2 or 3 eaglets. But after it's 7 years old and it's become mature, then it can have as many as 7 or 8 eaglets. It can have as many as 8 or 9. And so what happens is the eagle's nest develops over the course of time. It starts out to where it can only hold 2 or 3 eaglets, but as it grows, as the nest grows, as it matures, it has the ability to house more. In other words, it's saying later in its life, it's more mature. Later in its life, it has the ability to reproduce and to do more. That's why the Bible says that work that God has begun in you, He will be faithful to complete to the end of salvation. How many know the day of salvation? How many know God is always working on you? How many know that God gives you the ability to do more in your later years than what you could do in your early years? How many know God wants you to be more fruitful as you mature in God, as you grow in the things of God? He will allow you to produce more and to be more than you've ever done before. It's interesting that the eagle, that after all maturing of those years, all of a sudden, he gets stronger and that nest gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And it becomes safer and safer. It builds that place of safety for its eaglets. Next thing about the eagle, not only about his strength, not only about his swiftness, not only about the nest of the eagle, but the eagle's diet. He always eats that which is fresh. Now, eagles will, at times, will eat carcasses if they're freshly killed. At times will scavenge, but an eagle always prefers to hunt its own food. It always prefers to eat that which is always living and which that is always alive. It never feeds on dead things. It does. Why? Because it knows he specifically chooses his diet and he chooses what he wants to eat. He doesn't eat what he has to eat. There are other birds who eat what they find, eat what they happen to find. But the eagle determines what he wants to eat. It's just like the Christian and his diet. I don't want to eat anything that's not living. I don't want to be put anything in my life that's not has not the life and the breath of God in it. God has given us the Word, and we can choose every day to feed off the Word of God and to live off the living Word of God to feed us. And the diet that we should be on shall be spiritual things. I will not, and I choose not, to live off dead things in my life or allow those dead things. Now, what's interesting is that the eagle has to have a little bit of perseverance when it comes to his diet, because they estimate that an eagle is only successful one out of every 18 attempts to try to develop or to catch fish or food. One out of every 18 times. Now, if you were a hitter in the major leagues, you would not make very much money hitting one time out of 18. You'd be in the minor leagues all your life. Matter of fact, that's not a very good score for some things that you do. But it's not a testament to the eagle's ability. It's a testament to his perseverance. It's a testament to his never giving up. It's a testament to that he's going to see through what he desires to do. He is not going to be dictated by things that are not his nature. He does not get outside the course of his nature. And the truth is, we have to be Christians that learn how to persevere. I know that we pray for things, and there's times that it doesn't come quickly. There's times that it doesn't come instantaneously. There has to be a perseverance about our life that we'll not give up on God. We will not push God to the side. Your healing's coming, right? You just keep praying. Your deliverance is coming. You just got to depend on God. Your breakthrough is coming. You just got to trust God. If you'll be faithful to the nature that God has created you to be and the nature of who you are as a Christian, your breakthrough will come. It may not come on the time that you want it to come, but if you'll persevere like a believer and like an eagle, you will feed off the things that you desire and have the desires of your hearts. If you'll just persevere like the eagle. Persevere like the eagle. In other words, the eagle could settle for other things, but it doesn't settle. It settles. It never leaves outside its nature. And its nature is to eat things that are living and things that are caught and things that it desires. It's a powerful thing when you begin to think about it. But what's interesting is that the eagle has the ability, when it eats, it has a pouch in its esophagus called a crop. And in that crop, it's interesting that when an eagle eats, he can store food. And so when there's long periods of drought or long periods of finding food, or when he has food for his young, he had food for himself that he can store. But that's not completely what that's there for, even though he'll store food there. But the purpose of the crop in the esophagus of the eagle is to, when the eagle eats, it separates the fur, it separates that which is not the natural part of another animal that it should digest. In other words, it's got a built-in system to where that it'll take scales of fish and things that are not good for diet to be digested, and it'll place it there in that crop and regurgitate it later. Why? Because the eagle doesn't want anything going through his system that is not living, that does not bring nutrients to his life, that does not bring the nutrients for strength into his life. So should we be as a believer. That we should vet, and we should have a filter for everything that we do. Everything we read, everything we watch on TV, everything that we see, there should be a filter there that keeps certain things from getting into our digestive system that does not bring life to us. And so God has built that into the eagle. It separates that which is not living and keeps the eagle at a place of where he is. Able to eat. Now, when we begin to look at the eagle, we have to look at the eagle in the sense of his sight. The eagle has what's called microvision. He can see up to 7 miles perfectly. Up to 7 miles perfectly. And when he's mature, as a young eagle, he can see 2 to 5 miles perfectly. And his vision, as he gets older, gets better. And he has the ability to see. He's the only bird that can fly directly into the sun. And the reason that he can do that is because he has a covering over his eyes when he looks to the sun, and when he gets to a certain height, that comes over his eyes and protects his eyes so he can fly directly into the sun. And so whenever the eagle feels threatened, or when the eagle feels like it's being in trouble, that what it'll do, it knows that no other bird can fly into the sun, so it'll fly directly into the sun to evade something that may chase it. Isn't that interesting? How that we as believers, that when we feel threatened by the enemy, when we feel threatened by those who may be a threat to our nature, that we ourselves can go to the Word of God and look directly into the Son and look for the Son of God and look directly upon Him, and that we can be protected through the protection of God. That eagle is protected in his eyesight, his ability to see. And as it flies higher, and as Jeremiah said, it's the same meaning of the word, that in other words, as you get closer to God, when you get closer to God, closer to God, the better your eyesight. Closer to God, the better that you can see. And so we thank God for His divine nature in us and a part of the divine nature of the eagle. Finally, the eagle is tested. The eagle doesn't just mate. The eagle finds a mate. He just doesn't accept anything. The eagle finds a mate. He literally looks for a mate. And an eagle has to perform in order to have a mate. So an interesting that what happens with an eagle when they begin to mate, all of a sudden they begin to do, the female will test the male to make sure that that eagle has the ability to sustain her. First of all, that female will go grab an item, a log usually, that is five times her body weight, and will take that log or that piece of wood or that item to high heights, and she'll release that into the air. And the way that that male eagle proves himself to her is that he swoops down and he grabs that item right out of the air and retrieves it back to her. She takes it again and drops it again. He retrieves it and brings it back to her. And in other words, what she's doing is she is courting him. Why does she do that? Because if something ever happens to her and she knows that she needs safety, she needs to understand that her mate will be there and be able to protect her and cover her in a day that she may need him. If she becomes wounded, that he can carry her to safety. It's inbred in the nature of the eagle to want to help one another. Matter of fact, eagles, when they mate for life. The fidelity is they have the same mate for the course of all of lifetime. It's the nature of an eagle. Isn't that awesome to know that in the midst of that, the principles of marriage and the principles that God, even in the image of the eagle, God is showing us the nature and the principles of even marriage. But here's what's interesting. And this is what I wanted to get to this morning and bring you to this place this morning. Is I want you to understand the struggle of the eagle. The eagle just does not become like that. The eagle just does not wake up one day and all of a sudden it's the swiftest bird in the air. All of a sudden it's the bird that dominates its species. But there's a process in the eagle. Matter of fact, the eagle takes 5 to 7 years to mature. He just doesn't mature in 6 months or 8 months. It's a process that happens in the eagle. And things will begin to happen to the eagle. It goes through a place of what's called molting. And what happens is that eagle does not know what change is taking place inside him. He just knows that biologically something is happening. He knows that something is changing, and all of a sudden his talons become sore. And they're very hard and difficult to lift with. And all of a sudden it's so painful that that eagle will take and he will break his very talons off because they're so painful for him to keep on. Matter of fact, the eagle becomes so disoriented during molting, his beak begins to hurt, and he will break his very beak off and break it off because of the pain of that beak. And so all of a sudden, the very things that he uses to hunt with, to eat with, to protect himself with, all of a sudden, he's at the dependency of and vulnerable at this place. So an eagle will go and hide himself in clefts of the rocks and mountains and trees on foregrounds and areas. His feathers begin to fall out. He cannot fly. And it's the time where he's most vulnerable. And so, what does he do? He has no idea what's happening to him. He thinks life is ending. He thinks he's dying. He doesn't think he'll ever get through this. He doesn't think that what is happening, he doesn't have... Have you ever been like that? Have you ever been like that in life? You ever felt like you've been to a place you had no understanding of what was happening to you? You had no understanding of what you were walking through or what was going on? You thought you were getting ready to die. You had no sure that you would ever come through it or get through it or the assurance of getting through it? You ever been at that place where you felt like all of a sudden the things that were strong in your life, all of a sudden would have been attacked by the enemy, and now there's a weakness that's revealed in your life, and all of a sudden you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do, you don't know who you can depend on. All you know is that you need help, and you need something to help you get through it. And that eagle finds himself in the crevice of that rock, and what happens is, the way that eagle makes it is that other eagles who are mature and have gone through the same process will begin to come and will begin to do two things. The first thing that they begin to do is that they will begin to groom that eagle. They will take their beaks, and see, that eagle has to groom himself to keep from infections and bugs and getting diseases. And so other eagles will fly down and groom that eagle, as though to say, hey, I'm here to take care of you, to comfort you, to groom you. Not only that, that eagle will bring food to that eagle to eat. And he'll bring it there and drop it so that he can have nourishment in this time of molting. It's a very stressful time for the eagle. Matter of fact, his heart rate goes from being 120 to 180 to 200 beats a minute. Now listen to this. A regular bird's heartbeat is 300 beats per minute. That's a regular bird. Every bird is 300 beats a minute. But the eagle, his heartbeat and the nature of him is 120 beats a minute. You know why? It's interesting. The eagle is the calmest bird there is. He knows no stress. Why? Because he is the king of all birds. He knows who he is. He knows that he has no natural born enemy. He knows that he can defeat every foe that comes to him. Listen, how many know the peace of God can come on your life? And you can know the peace of God when you know who you are in Christ. When you know who you are in Christ, you don't have to sweat, sweetheart. You don't have to get all stirred up. You can remain calm through the midst of the storm. Why? Because you know who you are. You are a child of the King, and you're His child, and you can get through anything that you want to get through. And so that eagle's heart rate will raise just a little bit. Eagle. And so what happens all of a sudden in the midst of that eagle, all of a sudden his talons will begin to grow back after a period of time. And the talons will grow longer. They'll grow stronger. And as he matures, he'll be able to lift up more and carry more. And he'll be able to use those talons in different ways that he couldn't do before. His beak will begin to grow back, and it grows back longer and stronger, and it has the ability to defend and to do what it needs to do like never before. But the great thing about the eagle is that he gets new feathers, and all of a sudden that white bald head comes on that eagle where before his nature was different. All of a sudden he begins that beak and that head, and those feathers come back in, and his strength is much greater than he was before. Why? Because he went through the process. He went through molting. He went through the process of where there was renewing in his life. When we read that in Isaiah 40, what Isaiah is talking about is an eagle who's coming through the molting period. And when he comes out of it, all of a sudden, he looks back at that molting period. And he says, man, he realizes that that was for a reason in his life. Now he's stronger. Now he's better. Now he flies faster. Now he can do things he couldn't do as a young eaglet. Now he can soar to places he couldn't soar before. He has the ability to be everything he was created to do. Let me encourage you this morning. The storms and the trials and the things that you go through in life, they're just to build the resume of God in your life so that when you come out on the other side, you have more faith. You have more strength. You have the ability to do what you could not do before. It's interesting. And so, one of the interesting things in history is that the only man who voted against the eagle being the national symbol of America was Ben Franklin. And you know why? Ben Franklin wanted the turkey. Maybe he was a turkey, I don't know. But he wanted the turkey. And his reasoning for not wanting the eagle was this. It was a misunderstanding of the nature of the eagle. Matter of fact, Ben Franklin wrote that the reason why he desired not the eagle was because he looked at the eagle and thought that the eagle was an apathetic bird. That it was apathetic in its posture and apathetic in what it did. And he said, that's not courage. That's not strength. But here's what Ben Franklin didn't know. The reason the eagle, there's a difference between having apathy and having peace. There's a difference between knowing you're the king of birds and that nothing threatens you from one who sits in shame or one who sits in a place of being ashamed. Can I tell you in the last days, God's going to raise the church up to be eagles, that we're not going to be apathetic in the last days, but we're going to be a people who have the peace of God on us and the assurance of who we are in Christ, and we'll be able to do things that we never thought we could do, and we'll do them with the peace of God at our back. God wants to bring that strength. See, apathy comes out of carnality. When we've been talking about the power of the mind, apathy comes from carnal living. It comes from living by earthly things. It's come by putting your trust in earthly things. It makes you apathetic as a Christian. But the peace of God on someone is much different. The peace of God reflects the strength and the faith in someone. And so when you have the peace of God, you have the assurance that you can never fail in the things that God asked you and calls you to do. Now, can I have just a second, just 5 minutes? Because I want to close with this about the eagle. Once it gets its beaks back and its talons back, there are three things that get sharpened in the eagle. First of all, the thing that changes, and the most prominent of things that change, is the eagle's voice. See, the eagle does not have the ability to squeal as a young eaglet. But after molting, all of a sudden, the maturity of that eagle allows him to squeal. And he has three different signals that he uses. One is to warn of predators, both imminent and those who are around. It has a certain sound to let other eagles know that there's a predator. The second thing is that an eagle uses his voice to gather other eagles, or to gather his mate, or to gather others to fly with. In other words, when an eagle is gathering his mate, it's a call to gather. It's a call to be around. And then, but finally, and this is the most interesting, is that an eagle will squeal at a moment of victory. When an eagle has defeated a foe, the eagle will squeal, and that tone lets everyone know in the area. It'll let other eagles and other birds that he has had victory. That it's a sound of defending his nest. It's a sound of defending territory. It is a sound that he has defended it and that he'll continue to defend it. It's a warning shot to every enemy, to the eagle's nest, or prey to the eagle's nest, that that eagle has the ability and the strength to defend its own nest. Man, I got to thinking about that and I thought, man, that should be the cry of the church. When we mature in God, we should be lifting up a voice of praise and worship and song that lets the enemy know that he does not have a right here. He does not have a right in this place. He has not a right in the church. That we are victorious. There is a cry from the church that can go out to let the world know that Jesus is risen and he is alive and we are his church. His voice changes. His hearing changes. His hearing changes to the point that he can hear and identify animals by the movement and the sound of their movement. Isn't that powerful? He knows when a snake is close. He knows when there's a rodent in the bush. He knows when there's another bird ruffling. He knows the nature of that animal by his hearing, and his hearing improves. And not only does his hearing improve, but his ability to fight. Listen to this. The eagle really has one foe, and really there's none that are his foe. It's like God. God really has no equal. How many know God has no equal? There is no equal to God. But the enemy of the church is the serpent, and it's the enemy of the eagle. And the eagle will do two things to protect himself from the serpent. First of all, he will build his nest with thorns around the crown of that nest. He'll take thousands and thousands of thorns and put it around that nest to keep that serpent from getting into the nest or making it very difficult for that serpent to get there. Matter of fact, the second thing that he does is that when he sees the serpent and the serpent begins to attack, he does not fight the serpent on the ground, nor does he fight him in the nest. He will take that serpent and he'll lift that serpent in the air. And he'll fight that serpent while in the air. Why? Because the serpent has no stamina. It has no balance. It is useless in the air. It is weak in the air. It does not have the ability to strike or the power to strike while it is in the air. It has no balance. It's lost all of its ability to be effective and to be dangerous. And that eagle will take it to heights and he'll take it and squeeze it with his talons. He'll nail it with his beak. He'll fight it in the air. Listen, you want to fight the enemy? You don't fight him on the ground. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For the pulling down of the strongholds. You fight the enemy in the spirit. You don't fight him on ground level. You take him in prayer. You go higher. You lift it higher. And then he drops that serpent to the ground. And the impact will kill that serpent and take that serpent. If you want to do spiritual warfare, you have to do it in prayer. You don't win the battle naturally. We don't win the battle over this nation and our children naturally. I'm telling you, we can legislate morality all you want, but that's not what's going to change this nation. What's going to change this nation is people coming to Christ and their lives changing and being changed by the gospel and making the decision that they're going to live for God and serve God. That's what's going to change this nation. Now, all those things are nice. You can pick it or do whatever. That's fine. But I want to tell you, the greatest weapon you have is the weapon of prayer. That is the thing that is going to help us win the victory over God, over the enemy. And so God wants to take the nature of that eagle and make us all like the nature of that eagle. To make us all eagle Christians. And so when Isaiah was dealing with Israel, he was saying, Israel, you're going through a molting period, but God's going to renew your strength. And I really feel that we're in a day when I believe the church is going through a molting period. And we may have to face some persecution. We may have to face some difficulty. But I believe that when we come out on the other side, the church is going to be stronger than it's ever been and ever been before. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you're going through a molting period. But I can guarantee you this, God will be with you. And God will bring you out on the other side. Stand with me this morning if you would. Praise God. Well, I love you. I'm glad you're here today. We're going to go ahead and pray and dismiss. And I'm going to pray over the food so we can go ahead and eat right away. But we're going to have a great time today. Thank you for being here. If you're visiting with us, we're so glad you're here. We're so thankful that you chose to worship with us today. And we just pray that the encouragement of the Lord has strengthened your life today. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Father, we pray over this time of fellowship and food together. May the food nourish our bodies. Thank you for the strength that we have in Christ. We thank you for the image of the eagle that strengthens us, lifts us up, lets us go and arrive to a higher place. And we thank you, God, that God, you've given us the ability to help other eagles who are molting because you've brought us through. And so we rejoice today that we're free and that we have freedom in Christ. Now bless your people as we go in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Praise God. Hug